Good morning. It's been good to, in our worship, in our time of prayer, to focus right in on that Lord's Prayer. You know, the disciples, the only thing they asked Jesus to teach them was to pray. They never asked Jesus how to heal, how to save someone. We won't find those questions in the Bible, but we do have this question from the disciple. How do we pray? And I think they asked simply because they knew that prayer was foundational to Jesus' life. They knew that Jesus' conversations with his Father was critical to everything that was happening in Jesus' life. We see this particularly in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Jesus prays. Let me just read the first few verses. After Jesus said this, telling the disciples that he would be making his way to the cross and therefore their grief, after he said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. Father, 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 the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. This is how he began his prayer, as he made his way to Golgotha. This prayer that he taught his disciples, it's an astounding gift, an amazing gift. When we look at the six petitions of the prayer, we've sung them, we've listened to them this morning. What I find so fascinating is that they are stated as commands. In grammatical terms, it is expressed, to use the Greek grammatician's language, it's stated in that imperative mood, the mood of command. Strange is that in Greek culture, it was rude to use such a mood when speaking to a superior. They tell you what to do, you don't tell them what to do. And yet Jesus teaches a prayer that has a commanding tone from us to God. Hallow your name. Come, be done, give, forgive, lead, deliver. Seven commands in these six petitions. The only thing softening this demanding imperative mood is that the directives are conditioned by another voice. In grammar terms, it's called the passive voice. We use this voice quite often as parents to our kids. May you clean your room, Eric. I mean, it's really a command, clean your room. But, you know, as parents, we're trying to be gracious. But the command is really real. Clean your room. I mean, as parents, we're trying to be gentle. We do the same thing or use the same mood as Jesus taught us in this prayer. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. It's using the passive voice. Now, with children, it's being gentle, but with God teaching it, God using this in this prayer, Jesus is teaching us that we should be reverential. God, you must do what only you can do. When we pray to God, as Jesus teaches us here, we need to humbly acknowledge that we are asking God only to do what only God can do. We are not praying in this prayer in this way, help us, God, to hallow your name. Help us, God, to get your will done. Help us, God, to get our daily bread today. The prayer is not about God helping us. It's about us asking God to do something that we utterly know that we can't do for ourselves. Do you notice the difference? Perhaps too much of our prayers are about asking God to help us do something that we think is important for God, when in fact, Jesus is saying, you really need God to do it. It doesn't mean we're totally out of the picture. I think God invites us to participate in his work. But as Daryl Johnson highlights in the book that we are using much in this series, is we make a mistake when we think we are the chief actors in what God is doing in this world. And today we're focusing on this first petition, hallowed be your name. It is perhaps the least straightforward one of all the six, as it seems a little bit abstract and perhaps a little bit hard to get a handle on. I mean, we get forgive, we get the give us daily bread, but hallowed your name. What exactly does that mean? It's the first petition, so obviously it's an important one. And my hunch is that if we don't get this one right, we'll stumble with all the rest, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on. So to understand this first petition, we need to understand two things, I think. One, God's name, and two, what it means to hallow. Names are important in the Bible, you know that. A name in the Bible seems to reflect a person's character, their personality, and their reputation. And we see this in a number of different names in the Bible. For instance, Nabal. If you read the story of Nabal in 1 Samuel, you'll know that his name means fool. And when you read the story, you'll understand why he's a fool. It's like the name is a bit of a mini personality profile. You get the name, you sort of have a hunch who this person is. We see this also with, the child's name. Two geriatrics named their son Isaac. Laughter, because God promised them a child in their old age. Isaac, you make us laugh. Or even Peter. Jesus renames him from Simon to Peter, meaning rock. Advertising companies might call this branding, right? We get the power of a name. In fact, Tiger Woods was dropped by Nike, I believe, because Tiger Woods just wasn't good enough to brand them with who they wanted to be known as. And perhaps this is part of what this petition is all about. It's about branding God. Or Jesus saying, God, may your reputation, may your character be known throughout the whole world as it should be. Names are important. And Jesus is inviting us to pray for God's name in this world. Now, this word hallow, what does it mean to hallow the name? The word hallowed is the same as the word sanctify. In John 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples, sanctify them by the truth. In other words, Jesus was saying, make them holy, God. By your truth, make them holy. But we know God is already holy. So are we praying that God, we want you to be holy? No, it's not that. The point of this petition is that God's name should be revered in the whole earth. That in fact, the cry of this petition, the demand of this petition, is that God might be known for who he really is. The God who heals, the God who restores, the God who is powerful, the God who provides, the God who redeems. This is a prayer commanding God to reveal himself to the world. It's a prayer that's insisting that God manifest himself in such a way that the whole world will respond in praise and adoration. It's a demanding prayer. God, show up. God, manifest yourself. Make yourself real to us, to the world. Hallowed be your name. May people see who you are, the Holy One, the Mighty One, the Good Father. In fact, you could maybe put this petition in these words. Father, make real your character. Magnify your name on earth. Make yourself real. Enhance your reputation in all of the earth. And this is Jesus' prayer. And we only have to look at the prayer Jesus prayed. It's Jesus' recorded prayer before he's abandoned by all those he loves, yet he is embraced by the love of his Father. It seems, even in this prayer, Jesus asks us to start by hallowing God's name, and we see him doing exactly the same thing in his prayer at the very moment of his greatest challenge. He petitions God to reveal his glory. It seems that the very center of Jesus' life, at the very center of his being, is his passion to see God's name revealed, to see God manifest himself through his life. And so he demands, God, glorify yourself in me. On that night when Jesus was to be handed over to death, we read, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I glorified you on the earth. I've accomplished everything that you've asked. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. This, I would argue, is Jesus' primary mission and passion in his life. And he's teaching us to live with such a passion. And when I think about this prayer, and particularly in the place where Jesus is praying this now, the prayer is like a dying to the self. A dying of the self that pursues its own glory, its own reputation, and desires for God to enter in and reveal himself. Not my will, says Jesus, but yours be done. And Jesus understood the concern that God had for his name. In fact, when we looked at the Ten Commandments, we see that in one of the Ten Commandments, God expresses his concern of his name. He says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord your God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Like Israel, we are a people who misuse God's name. Our concern for God's name is often replaced by a concern for our own selves. Think of the words God speaks to the Babylonian captives when he is about to deliver them from their captivity in Babylon. Ezekiel records the words. God's about to save them. And God says, it's not for your sake, Israel, that I am going to do these things. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned amongst the nations where you have gone. I says God, will show the holiness of my great name. And then the nations will know that I am the Lord when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. I am working through you so that my name may be glorified. All of our effort to make God holy will only end up profaning his name. So Jesus teaches us to pray that God might make his name holy by allowing God to reveal himself in and through us. How do we pray? Darrell Johnson, in his great book, 57 Words That Changed the World, he says, well, maybe what Jesus is teaching here is that we need to pray back to God the names that he grants us. God has revealed himself through his names and through his actions. And so when we pray, we can remember the names of our Father in heaven, El Shaddai, the mighty God, El Rophe, the God who heals, El Ruah, the God who sees, or Adonai, Master, or Yahweh, the covenantal name, meaning I am who I am. To remember these names in our prayers, to begin to think and pray to God about who he is, Almighty One of God, who is able to overcome all things. God, reveal yourself in a mighty way that is so obvious to other people. Oh God, you are the I am. You are always present. You will never give up. You are faithful. You are the I am. And you are with me. It's praying back the very revelation that God has given to us about who he is and to pray into that. But he also reveals himself through his actions. Creator, the God who created, who out of chaos and nothingness made life happen. Oh God, I'm in chaos. Oh God, come and do what you can only do to bring life to happen. The Creator God who acts in powerful ways. When we're praying the Lord's Prayer, we're praying into the person and the reputation and the character of God and demanding him to reveal himself as such. In a very real way, we're putting our trust in him and at the same time confessing that we're not him. He needs to work. We remember his action in the book of Exodus when he delivered Israel. Oh God, you are the one who is able to release the captives. I am burdened by my addiction to this or to that. Release me in the power of your name. Or maybe even, God, forgive me for being an oppressor who has been a weight and a burden to others. Deliver me. God, reveal yourself to me. Or even the birth of Jesus Christ. God reveals himself as the one who comes back to his own world and becomes like one of us. And the death of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is finally glorified, or the return of Christ, we recognize that in Jesus, we see the very character of God in its fullest. Hallowed be your name, Father in heaven. Be present with me
redeem me, help me overcome, and let me be shaped by a reality where one day all tribes and all nations will bow before your throne, and where all people will worship, saying amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength. May it all be to you, God, forever and ever. The deepest passion of Jesus Christ was to reveal the very nature and character of the Father. The great moment of glory comes as Jesus declares that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a kernel. As Christ emptied himself of himself in love, God's character was able to be fully manifest in his life. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Make yourself real in my life and in this world. May I die so that you may live. I'm not exactly sure how the rest of the petitions would work without us humbly acknowledging the name of God and asking him to be all that he is in this world. And as we come to the table, we eat a meal that has been prepared for us by our Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus invites you to eat with him. Because at this table, which reveals in a very ordinary way the very glory of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, we approach a table of glory. And we hallow his name as we come to the one who gave his life up for us and makes us new. A holy table where the name of Jesus brings glory to you and throughout this world. So I invite you to come to the table. And we do this in a very straightforward way. We have three teams that hand out this juice and this bread and the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And if you're new with us today, just come and follow the lineup. We start from the back to the front. And as you come to those who are serving, just hold out your hand and somebody will put the bread into your hand and say, the body of Jesus Christ. And then you can take that bread and dip it in the cup. Just follow those in front of you. But perhaps you need to pray too as you are moved in this service in any such way or come with any burdens. And we have a row up here and there'll be people that will pray with you. Come and just pray. But let's prepare for this table by praying. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have revealed your love towards us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You are a mighty God. You are mighty to heal. You are mighty to restore. And you are here with us. We pray as we come to this table and we are fed by your grace through this bread and this juice that we may experience you living through us. Help us to put to death those things that seek to preserve our own name or glorify ourselves, and may you come alive in us, so that the world will see you and see your glory. So feed us at this table now, Lord. Make us new. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Brian and I will serve those who are serving this morning. And if you would like somebody to pray with you, please come and to the front, and there'll be people here who will pray with you.